Thank Armin for leading the service today, and we trust as we come to the Word of God now that the Lord will continue to be with us. Returning to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, reading from the opening verse, and want you to pay particular attention to verse 5, which will be our text. I feel very exercised to preach on the subject or the question, what is a mother? And really, what is a godly mother is what we want to concern ourselves with today as we turn to God's holy word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We'll bow together just for a moment in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for this time that is given to us in the Lord's day to come to the Lord's house, so that we, as the Lord's people in particular, might give worship, adoration, and praise to the God we know and love. We thank thee for thy presence already, for enablement given to us to worship the Lord in song, to draw near to him in prayer, and to hear his word. We thank thee for the word of the living God. And as we come to it now, as we think of this subject, we pray for the pouring forth of the one who is our teacher, even the blessed Holy Spirit, that he might move in our hearts today, that he might speak to every waiting heart. Lord, fill me with divine power and wisdom in the bringing of this message, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When my mother went to be with Christ, we received emails and texts and cards. And her dear sister, Mrs. Margaret Beggs, had written in the card, and there was a very poignant line that said, "The father is the head of the family, but the mother is the heart." And we could readily identify with that sentiment. It is so true. The Lord enabled me to say some things about my mother at her Thanksgiving service just 2 weeks ago. And I want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank those who were able to travel for that service. You'll remember that I began by saying, I don't want today to pass without giving honor and recognition to a woman sent from God to be our mother, and I spoke on behalf of my entire family. My mom loved her children, and she loved her grandchildren very, very dearly. In fact, if you came into her home, you would immediately see that to be so, because there in the hall, in the living room, in the kitchen, just all around the home, on the walls, on the tables, there were photographs of her children and her grandchildren. She thought so much of them. So many words could be used to describe our godly mother. We said this 2 weeks ago. She was kind, she was gracious, she was loving, she was thoughtful, she was welcoming, generous, and always a great encouragement and support in all that we did. She possessed the true character of godliness, and her life was filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And so, 2 weeks ago, I could only say good about my mother. She was gracious. I never heard her say anything that was harsh or anything that was unkind about another person or to another person. I never heard her speaking out of turn. She always conducted herself in a way that never marred her testimony. And she had no greater joy than to see her children walking in the truth. We were not only brought to the house of God, or not only sent to the house of God, I should say, we were brought. And so in my home, as far as my mother was concerned, we had a living testimony to a godly woman. Now the question might well be asked, what is a mother? Someone has answered this by saying a mother is someone who loves unconditionally and places the needs of her children above her own on a personal level, and not only with words, but also with actions. Washington Irving was a secular American author, essayist, biographer, and historian in the early 19th century. He was named after George Washington. And he said, a mother is the truest friend we have. When trials heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when trouble thickens around us, still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read a poem that was entitled, What is a Mother? And it goes as follows. A mother is someone to shelter and guide us, to love us whatever we do, with a warm understanding and infinite patience and wonderful gentleness too. How often a mother means swift reassurance in soothing our small childish fears. How tenderly mothers watch over their children and treasure them all through the years. The heart of a mother is full of forgiveness for any mistake, big or small, and generous always in helping her family whose needs she has placed above all. A mother possesses incredible wisdom and wonderful insight and skill. In each human heart is that one special corner which only a mother can fill. And you know, I think that every child here, everyone that has had a mother, can identify somewhat with the sentiments that are expressed, both in what people have said and in this poem. And anyone can say that about a good mother. But what is a mother? In the light of Scripture. For the Word of God is our authority in all that we believe. What we ought to be as fathers and mothers, as husbands and wives, as sons and daughters, or any other member of the family, is declared in the book that is our only rule of faith and practice. I want this message, in some respect, to be a tribute to my mother. But it has its application to every mother in this church building, every prospective mother, every father, and I want you to apply it accordingly, and every Christian that's here. I want to speak on a godly mother, for that's what God wants you mothers to be. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of America, and he said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And I count myself to be one of the wealthiest men on this earth, for I had a godly mother. One of the most outstanding examples of a godly mother in the records of divine revelation is that of Eunice. And here, as Paul writes to her son Timothy, who is now a minister of the gospel, he calls to mind his godly mother and grandmother, who under God were the great spiritual influence in the life of a young boy growing up in a corrupt world. Here in the person of Timothy, a legacy of a godly mother and grandmother is to be seen. And this is the chief legacy that we want to leave behind. No matter what else you leave by way of influence and testimony and example and estate, we want to make sure that this legacy is left behind more than anything else. Children soundly converted, children walking with God, and indeed children serving the Lord just like Timothy. And so, what is a godly mother? Three simple thoughts I want to leave with you. First of all, she embraces Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. The mother of the young minister, Timothy, was converted to the Lord. We're not told when. It is likely that both Eunice and Lois came to Christ through the ministry of Paul. During his first missionary journey, in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are set aside in a special way by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, and set aside too by the church. Hands were laid upon them as they were sent out to be missionaries, to preach the gospel to the nations, to those that were outside of Israel. Having gone to the island of Cyprus, they left that island and they sailed north, and they came to what is today modern day Turkey. And they eventually came to Lystra and Derbe, and that's where Eunice lived. And you read about this in Acts chapter 14 and verses 16 or 6 and 7. The record tells us concerning these missionaries, there they preached the gospel. And it would seem that this is where Christ was received, by Eunice and by Lois, and very possibly at the same time by young Timothy. We certainly know that Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy. In fact, that's how this letter in the opening verses begins. He writes to his son in the faith. 20 years later, here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul speaks about the unfeigned faith that was in Timothy's grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. Lois and Eunice were Jewesses, and they were well versed in the Old Testament scriptures, and they taught Timothy the same. It was Paul who brought them to see that the one who came into the world in the incarnation and died upon the cross as the Savior was the long-promised Messiah of which the Old Testament spoke. We think of how Christ is presented in the Old Testament from Genesis right through to Malachi, and all the wonderful promises, the prophecies, the types, the shadows, the symbols. We think of the shedding of the lamb's blood. We think of the other animals who were offered on Jewish altars as sacrifices. They were all pointing to God's dear lamb. We think of the clear testimony of Scripture, like Isaiah 53, where we're clearly led to the atonement of Christ, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the one upon whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us all. And Paul preached the same gospel that we preach today. You remember he said, we preach Christ and him crucified. He set before his hearers the great truths of the gospel. What are the great truths of the gospel? I suppose it could, in one of the passages of Scripture, be summarized in the words of the Savior when he spoke about the ministry of the Holy Spirit who would come into the world and work in the world and reprove sinners or the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. These were the things that Paul preached. And he pleaded. He pleaded with his congregations to turn to Christ, that they might have mercy and forgiveness. And it was during this time in Lystra that the family of Timothy trusted the Savior, and their eyes were opened to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Therefore, the reference that we have here to the unfeigned faith. Eunice exercised faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of men. The greatest thing that any mother can do to make sure that they are saved by the grace of God and found in Jesus Christ alone. Faith is believing. Faith is putting your trust in, and here putting your trust in Jesus Christ concerning all he is and all he came to do. Eunice came to realize that the just shall live by faith. And that's how she came to be a recipient of eternal life. She believed. She exercised faith. And thereafter, she lived the Christian life by faith. She had a daily walk with God and trusted in him. And that faith was strengthened and established by God's word because she knew the Holy Scriptures. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so here's a woman that exercised faith in Christ. And you'll notice that her faith was real. There's many who say today that they have faith. They say they're Christians. They say they're born again. They say they are the Lord's, but there's little evidence. There's little substance. Their life and their witness does not tally with the profession that they make. And really, it's very sad when you see that happening. Somebody who says, I'm the Lord's, I'm saved, I have exercised faith, and yet you look at the life and there's so much wanting when it comes to that profession. But we find that Eunice had the evidence. She had the fruit, the reality. It was unfeigned faith. And that little word that is used, translated into the English language, on faith, literally means devoid of any hypocrisy. In simple terms, it was true, it was real, honest, genuine, sincere faith. May God give us mothers like that in our homes, and give us mothers like that in this church, and give us mothers like that in society. What a mighty influence for good such a testimony like that has. What an impact it has upon any family, any community. The children see the genuineness of godly faith in the home, and it affects them. It does. We know that to be true. What is a godly mother? Well, the first thing is she embraces Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. The second thing is this. She expounds the gospel to secure the salvation of her children. It's a solemn thing to be a mother. A grave responsibility. If God has placed you in that position in your home, to be a mother, there is no greater endeavor than the one that I've just spoken of, to endeavor to see your family brought to Christ. It's not their education and the academics of this world. And such things have their place, and children ought to be educated as far as possible, and they ought to be encouraged in these matters. It's not sporting careers and achievements, and I'm sure those things have their place too. It's not success in the employments of this life, and it's important, if possible, to have employment. It's not even in health. And sure, we want to see our children prospering in health and enjoying good health in this earth. No, I want to tell you, it is their redemption. There's nothing more important than this. Nothing could be deemed more essential than to see our children soundly saved. And I want to tell you, Eunice was such a mother. We read our text here, which is in verse 5, as Paul writes to Timothy, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was saved. And we think of that marvelous text in the 3rd chapter, verse 15, that from a child Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Eunice taught Timothy the holy scriptures. And the word holy is used to distinguish the word of God from profane writings or secular literature. These scriptures are holy. They're written by the Holy Ghost. The Lord himself moved holy men to write down his words. The content of this book is holy as to the law and to the gospel. And the whole scheme and purpose of this book is holy. It's to make men holy. So it is the Holy Scriptures here. And the only way of salvation is through a knowledge of the Scriptures. It's the entrance of God's words that give light. Thy words are a lamp to my feet, it's a light to my path. We have no other guide, we have no other authority, we have no other revelation. It's the Holy Scriptures which make us wise unto salvation. God has revealed himself in this book. He has given this word. He moved those men that we spoke of to write down his words. God has revealed himself. We believe in the full inspiration of the scriptures. We sometimes refer to it as plenary verbal inspiration. The word plenary just means full. And verbal is word by word inspiration. We believe in the full word by word giving of this book by the inspiration of Almighty God. And it is our only light in matters that are spiritual and eternal. All that I need to know about God is in this book. God's revealed himself, who he is, all the great attributes of God. All I need to know about sin, the fall of man, and what we are before this holy God is in this book. All I need to know about heaven and hell, the future, those things that are to be in the great eternity of God is in this book. All I need to know about salvation and redemption, my friends, God has revealed it. He's given it to us in his word. Nothing else can enlighten me. Nothing else can instruct me. Nothing else can make me wise. And so we must be men, women, and young people of the book. We need to get to know the Holy Scriptures and then preach them. Preach them to a dying world. And first and foremost, we are to preach them to the family, to our children. Don't let your chief concern be their education. Don't let your chief concern be the pastimes that they have on television or the PlayStation or the Xbox. Don't let it be their chief concern. Don't let it be rugby or football or some other sport. Our children must hear about Christ and hear it first and foremost in the home. This is the kind of mother that Eunice was. The right time, the best time to hear these things is from our childhood. Before sin has a grip upon the life of our children, before the world has wrecked and ruined them, before Satan has drawn our dear ones away from God. My friends, we believe in this church in the family altar. And it's something that we need to stress over and over again, where not only the godly mother, but the godly father instructs their children every day in the things of God. Eunice had a family altar. She had a place where she and her mother and her son met with God in the scriptures. I want you to see this. Timothy was taught. He was taught the Holy Scriptures. He learned the Bible. He memorized the Word of God as Jewish children did. And he knew all about the law and the prophets and the promised Savior. His family were waiting for Christ like the Jews did. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. Those that would get true learning must get it from this book, not from a science book, not from a geography book or some fictional story. It would be a very sad thing if our children grew up and they knew more about the solar system Or they knew more about mathematics. Or they knew more about football teams. Or about farming. Or industry. Or Disney films than they did about the Word of God. That would be a tragedy. These things will never take them to heaven. In fact, the opposite might be true. It might lead them down a path that leads to hell. The Bible must not be a neglected book in our homes. The Bible is the only guidance to salvation. And then it is profitable for all purposes in the Christian life. In all matters where we need to be taught and instructed, reproved and corrected, so that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And it begins, now listen to it, it begins with the knowledge of Christ and his gospel, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Where did Timothy learn the scriptures? Where did Timothy gain a knowledge of salvation? Where did he hear about Christ, the promised Messiah? At his mother's knee, in a God-fearing home, which made it his business to teach and instruct their child in the things of God. This knowledge he had from a child. In fact, that word could be translated babe or infant. And so it is from his infant days, his earliest days. His mother was careful to teach him the Word of God, and that from his earliest years. You're asking the question, when do you begin this teaching? When do you begin to instruct the children in the things of God? At 5 or 6 or maybe a little bit older, when they're gaining an understanding, if you leave it to then, it's too late. The children need to be instructed from their infancy. And as some would, before they're born. We know of those who will read the Word of God to the unborn child in the womb. Oh, the power that there is in God's precious Word. Don't fail in this matter. Oh, dear mother, dear Christian father, make it your chief concern to secure the salvation of your children. You work tirelessly to that end. Pray for them, live before them, and teach them the Holy Scriptures. It's your God-given solemn responsibility. By the way, the name Eunice means blessed with victory. Its origin of the name doubtless commemorated some happy, victorious event. The word niece or nice, if you just take the four words there, the end part of the word, was a favorite ending of female names in the Macedonian age. And Eunice lived up to her name, for she conquered in the effort to bring her son in the nurture and admonition of God. She saw Timothy brought to Christ. And my friends, this is the victory we desire more than anything else in our families. What is a godly mother? Well, thirdly, she secures her own salvation and that of her children. But she establishes the principles of godliness in her home. No doubt Eunice was this, with the support of Lois, her own mother. And in all likelihood, without the support of the father in this home, in this instance. The scripture is silent to the identity of Timothy's father. We read in Acts 16 and verse 1 that Timothy was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And that is telling us that he was not only non-Jewish, he was not circumcised, but in all probability, he was not a Christian. And there seems here to be a contrast in the words that are spoken. His mother believed, but his father was a Greek. But his father was not saved. I think that we have warrant in saying that. It's also possible, as nothing more is said of the father, that he was dead at the time when Paul met this family. The godly upbringing of Timothy, the careful instruction in the scriptures, the diligent counsel and direction of a Christian mother resulted in Timothy going into the ministry and becoming a companion and friend with the great apostle Paul. How delighted his mother must have been when Timothy was set aside by the Lord to do the work of the evangelist. as we read about later in this book in 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Labor to see your children saved, but labor to see them soundly taught in the things of God. Labor to see them trained, to see them established. Our children are the future of this church. And even in the greater measure of things, they are the future of this country. When we think of the land in which we live. Not all our children will become ministers like Timothy, but all of them can become witnesses for Christ. They ought to be. They can all become involved in God's work. They can be lights in a dark place. For we are a body, and there's many members in the body. And God has given us a work to do. The godly influence of a Christian mother will not only lead her children to salvation in Christ, but service for Christ. And the Apostle John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that so for you and I, that our fathers and mothers in this church today? No greater joy than to hear our children are walking with God and serving the Lord. And I say to you, mother, lead them. Don't expect your children to love the Scriptures if you don't lead them to read the Scriptures. Don't expect them to love the place of prayer if you don't in your home lead them to the throne of grace. Don't expect them to love the house of worship if you don't lead them here on the Sabbath day. Don't expect them to love the prayer meeting or to love any other aspect of God's work if your feet are not taking them and leading them and instructing them in the way they ought to go. You know, Timothy's name means one who fears God. That must have been chosen by his Jewish mother and not his Gentile father, who probably had little or no leaning towards God. So we can say that he also lived up to his name. And it all began because there was a godly mother in the home who embraced Christ herself as he was freely offered in the gospel, who expounded the gospel to secure the salvation of her children, or in this case, her child, and who established the principles of godliness in her home. And my simple prayer over this message, as I think of the godly mother and what the godly mother is, Lord, give to us such godly mothers. Give to us such godly fathers. Give to us godly grandparents of this kind, godly leaders, godly elders, older people in the church who will be that kind of example that Eunice was to her son Timothy. And I tell you, God will bless it. God will bless it as he did in this home. May the Lord speak to us and help us to be what we ought to be as members of our family.